Good to see some visiting with us this morning, and we want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. And one way we think that may make you feel at ease is if you take your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility to instruct in the Word of God. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. I've made many mistakes in the past, subject to more. If you'll bring out my error, I'll be glad to make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Daniel has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized into Christ this very morning. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 3, and we'll read through verse 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. When you take your Bible, then recognize that at this time, Paul is talking about baptism. And there's been a lot of controversy in regard to the subject of baptism. You'll find there are many people today who mock the action of one being immersed into water. And some labor under the view that if one is baptized, that is a work where one is trying to earn their salvation. Yet I beg to differ with that view. When one is immersed into Jesus Christ or immersed into water, they do not come up out of that watery grave and beat their chest and say, "I saved myself." When one is immersed into water by faith, one is saved by the grace of God by obeying the command of God. And Paul states in the Roman letter that when one is baptized, they are immersed into Christ's death. In the act of baptism, one comes in contact with the blood of Christ. And for a few moments of our time, what I'd like to do is talk about the importance of being baptized, about being immersed and going into the grave of baptism and being under the blood of Christ. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus and the 12th chapter, you remember the last plague that came upon the Egyptians was the death of the firstborn. And the Israelites, to save their firstborn, had to put blood upon the doorpost, had to put blood upon the lintel, and every family that had the blood applied, their son was saved. And I want us to realize this morning that the blood must be applied if one is to be saved. And when one is baptized into Christ, they receive several blessings. The first thing I want us to recognize is that when one comes in contact with the blood and is immersed under the blood, they have redemption. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the 1st chapter. And when you come to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, you'll find in chapter 1, in verse 7, that Paul said, "In Him," that's in Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Now, redemption means to be purchased back. If you go back to the Roman letter and the 6th chapter where we started just a moment ago and drop down to verse 16, notice that Paul said, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Notice that at one time, we were something. And Paul states that emphatically. He says in verse 17 that though you were slaves of sin, that's what you were. But when you obeyed that form of doctrine, what form of doctrine? The doctrine he just talked about in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 14. that when you were immersed into Christ, when you were baptized into His death, that you were purchased. You were bought out of bondage, and now you become a slave of righteousness. In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 20th chapter, in verse 28, we find that Jesus purchased the church with His blood. You know what the church is? Blood-bought people. The church is nothing more than people who have been blood-bought. They've been purchased back from the slavery of sins, and now they are God's people. But notice, more than being slaves of righteousness, notice what else we become. Open your Bible to the Galatian letter and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to the Galatians chapter 3, look at what he says in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now then, notice that he brings out the fact that we've been saved and now we are children of God. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we've become His children. Drop down and notice what he says in verse 5. To redeem, there's that word again, those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. At one time, you were a slave. But now you are a child of God, you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and you now belong to God, and you are a child of God. So when one is under the blood, one has come in contact with Christ, they have been redeemed. We have redemption. But secondly, not only do we have redemption, we have been saved from wrath. Go back to the Roman letter and the 5th chapter and look at what Paul says in verse 9. In verse 9, he says, much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now look again, we have been justified by what? His blood. We've been redeemed by His blood, and now we are saved from wrath. How? Through the blood of Christ. That observation I place before you with great consideration is that the blood of Christ saves us from the wrath of God. Now, when I think of the blood of Jesus, I realize He was the only sacrifice that can take away sin. He's the only sacrifice that can take away the wrath of God. When John saw Jesus in the book of John in the 1st chapter in verse 29, you remember what he said? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now then, if you take what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, you'll begin to see that we are saved from wrath through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, he said, by that we will all have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, you and I have violated God's law when we sinned. We were dead in our trespasses. That means we were separated from God. Death is a separation. When we die physically, there's a separation of the body and the spirit. When we sin, there is a separation from God. We are alienated from God. You remember that in the Ephesian letter and the 2nd chapter in verse 1, Paul said you were dead in your trespasses and sin. We weren't physically dead, we were spiritually dead. We were lost, but by the blood of Christ, we were saved from wrath. God's wrath would be poured out on us in the judgment day if we are not saved by the blood of His Son. The blood atones for man's sin and puts him back into fellowship with God. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And know what the Apostle Paul said. This isn't the preacher talking. This is what the Bible declares. And notice that Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, talks about the wrath. And notice what he says in verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who watch it, do not know God, number one, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, number two. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So if we live our life separated from God, alienated from God from our sin, then, my friend, if we do not come back to God and do not come in contact with the blood of Christ, we will spend eternity separated from God. But that brings up a third thing. When one is baptized into Christ and they come in contact with the blood, they are reconciled to God. Open your Bible to the Colossian letter and the first chapter. And when you come to Paul's epistle to the church at Colossae, notice that he brings to their mind that they have been reconciled, they have been brought back into relationship with God. And how is that? Through the blood. Look at what he says in verse 20. In Colossians 1, verse 20, he said, "And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through" what? "The blood of His cross." And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Now, sin separated us from God, Isaiah 59:2. We were out of God's relationship and we were alienated, but now we've been reconciled. How? Through the blood of Christ, we can be brought back into a relationship with God. The barrier of fellowship is sin. And my friend, to have the barrier removed, we must come in contact with the blood. Look back in Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. In Romans chapter 5, look at what he says in verse 10. "For if when," underscore the word "when," "we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Reconciliation comes when we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. But that brings up something else. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. When you come to 1 John chapter 1, notice that John writes about this. "Under the blood of Christ, our sins are forgiven." If you look in 1 John chapter 1, when John is writing this epistle, he says in verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Under the blood of Christ, our sins are forgiven. When we come to Christ, as it's taught in Acts 2:38, and we repent of our sins, and we're baptized into Christ for the remissions of sins, we are raised to walk in newness of life. Paul, or Peter, said in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, that our sins have been blotted out. In Revelation 1, 5, it says we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then after baptism, if we fall short, when we sin, we have an advocate, the Father, that Jesus Christ, that our sins can be blotted out again. Look in 1 John 1, 9. "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The blood of Christ is that which blots out, erases, expunges sin. And when one has not been immersed into Christ, they've not contacted the blood that takes away sin. But I want you to think about something else. When you're under the blood, you've been justified. Open your Bible back to the Roman letter and the third chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the third chapter, look at what the Apostle Paul had to say beginning in verse 24. "Being justified," underscore that word, "freely." I like that statement. Justified how? Freely. Now look at what he says right after that. "By what?" What does it say? "His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by" what? "His blood." We have to be under the blood. through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, look at that word justified. That's a legal term signifying acquittal. When one is immersed into Christ, his sins have been acquitted. It's no longer held against him. It's just as if I didn't do it. One is pardoned. That kind of reminds you of what's brought out in the 32nd Psalm in verse 1 when he talked about the transgression of sin. And he said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Now then, I recognize I've been forgiven, I've been reconciled, I've been redeemed, I have been saved from wrath, I've been justified, but I want to tell you what else the blood of Christ does. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter. And when I'm under the blood of Christ, and when I am right with Christ, I've been redeemed by His blood. Notice, my friend, I've been brought near to Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near." How? By the blood of Christ. It makes no difference what our past was. It makes no difference if we were Jew or Gentile. I want you to know that by the blood of Christ, we are now nearing. Look at what he says in verse 12. "That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's the worst feeling. "But now," he says, "in Christ, you that were once afar off," the Gentiles, "have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We now have a relationship with Him. And what a joy when I'm immersed into Christ, I'm brought near to the one who wants to save me and redeem me. But that brings up one last thought, and the lesson's yours. Open your Bible to the book of John and the 6th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 6th chapter, notice, if you will, kindly, what else occurs when you're under the blood. Not only have you been redeemed, not only have you been saved from wrath, not only have you been reconciled, not only have you been forgiven and justified and brought near to God, but notice in John chapter 6 and verse 54, we have eternal life. I want you to think about the statement that we will have eternal life. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood," he said, "has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, some people think that in John 6, he's talking about the Lord's Supper. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about you have to be consumed with Him. He said, "I am the bread of life." And notice at this time, the people become offended with His teaching. But without being consumed with Christ and obeying His will, we do not have eternal life. But when we obey that form of doctrine and are added to the family of God, Acts 2:47, we can know that we are saved. Isn't that a blessing to know that you're saved? Do you realize this morning you can leave this building knowing that you are saved by God's grace and by the blood of Christ? Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. And when John was writing this epistle, look at what he says in verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may guess." No. "That you might suppose." No. What does he say? "That you may know you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So the question this morning is, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you under the blood? Are you in a covenant relationship with God? Do you see the blessings of having been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ? Oh, people mock baptism. I hear people say, "Oh, you have to believe." That's right. Jesus said, "Unless you believe I am He, you'll die in your sin." People will say, "You have to not only believe, but you have to repent." Jesus said, "That's right." You remember what Paul said in Acts 17? He said that the times of ignorance God has winked at, but in these last days has called all men to repentance. And someone will say, "You have to confess." And that's right. You have to confess that Jesus is the Christ. But oh, how many people mock baptism. And yet that's the command that puts us under the blood of Christ. It's just as important as every other command. And what we need to do is understand we need to come in contact with the blood to have our sins blotted out. Question, are you under the blood of Christ? If not, why don't you do so this morning as together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.